Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, hosted by Dirk Gray. My hope is you'll join me on Saturdays along with our guests as we explore all things senior. We're having a wonderful response from you, the senior community. You're calling, suggesting ideas. We're listening and continuing to add content. So please keep that up. If you have suggestions for topics or a guest you'd enjoy hearing from, please get in contact with me and let me know. All right, I'm joined in studio by my producer, Bob. Good afternoon, Bob.
Good afternoon. Isn't it a wonderful day?
It is gorgeous. Gray Matters is dedicated entirely to all things senior. Each week, I have guests in the studio talking about what they know best and answering your questions and concerns. It will all be related to our senior population: news, community, health, lifestyle, finance, real estate, events surrounding seniors, and many other topics. This show is brought to you by our producer, New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, helping you move forward in reverse. Our website is www.reversenm.com, and our office phone number is 505-897-4900, or contact 770-KKOB.com and go to the Gray Matters program page. Today on the show, my guests are Paul Wilson, a local longtime realtor, and Steve Kerr, a physical therapist. We're going to open up the phone line, so please call if you'd like to ask Paul a question. The phone number is 243-3333. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Dirk. It's good to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. You're well-respected, and I'm looking forward to the show.
Thank you very much.
Well, let's talk about the real estate market. You probably get asked, how's the real estate market?
That's typically the first question I get when people find out that my wife and I are in real estate. And actually, there are several answers to that question. The first one is the market is generally recovering. It hasn't recovered yet, but it's still in the process of recovering. The reason why is because until 2007, Albuquerque and the rest of the state, for that matter, had a very good run-up of appreciation. When we talk about value, we talk about appreciation. And the government, FHFA.gov, actually does a quarterly review of what values are in the over 300 metropolitan statistical areas. We are coming up, but we haven't gotten back to our 2007 numbers yet. But generally speaking, around the state, around all the MSAs, we have four in the state, the market is recovering, and that's good news for buyers and sellers and people that own real estate. And we think that real estate is a very good place to put people's money. Typically, the house is the single largest investment that families make. And I like to say that, talking about the market, we are in a classic dual market here in Albuquerque, and most cities around the state are in dual market. What that means is that we have a grouping of houses, like in this case, 250,000 and below. There's not a whole lot of inventory, and houses that are on the market fly off the market. We have just around 2 months of inventory under $250,000 in Albuquerque.
Wow.
That's not very much. And above, say, 750 or even 500,000, the market is a little bit different. There's a lot more houses on the market than buyers to buy those. And it makes sense. There's more buyers at the $250 range than at the $500,000 and $750,000 range.
Well, Paul, talk about, you've been at this a long time. Talk about your background.
A few years. Well, I was in the Marine Corps for 24 years, and The Marine Corps sent me here to the university to be the professor of naval science, actually to be the assistant professor, and I retired in 1992. After I got out of the Marine Corps, I started looking around for something to do, and a friend of mine said, why don't you get in real estate? And I said, well, okay, I'll think about that. And eventually I did, and so in 1997 I got licensed, and I've been at it ever since. My wife and I work with EXP Realty, and we used to have our own brokerage called the Home Team Realty. Now we're the home team of EXP Realty. Mm-hmm. So I just finished the 20th year of real estate in all in Albuquerque, and I love real estate. It's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to know about, and it's great to help people catch their dreams, open their doors, and that sort of thing. That's why I like real estate.
No, that's wonderful. Well, as a buyer, what does it cost me to buy a house? Maybe talk a little bit about how much money out of pocket.
Okay, so that's one of those dual questions too. There's two issues there. One of them is down payment. And down payment depends on the kind of mortgage someone's getting. There's basically three different kinds of mortgages. There's a conventional mortgage, there's an FHA mortgage, and there's a VA mortgage. They all have different issues, but basically those are the three kinds of mortgages. And depending upon the kind of mortgage is going to determine how much money you have to put down. And what I tell people that are not doing in the VA, you don't have to put any down unless you get a jumbo, and then you do. But if you get a mortgage for FHA or conventional, you have to put something down, anywhere from 3 to 5%. If you don't put down 20%, you need to pay mortgage insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So we suggest to people that if they can't do 20, do as little as necessary and save their money to do those improvements on their home, because those are going to be happening. You know that as a homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the basic thing. So the down payment's a big part of that. The other part of it is closing costs, buyer closing costs. I'm going to go back to down payment. On down payment, you cannot get the seller to help you with your down payment. You used to, but not anymore. However, there are some very, very good down payment programs that are available for people who are eligible. Any good mortgage company in town, and there are a lot of them, can help people with figuring out what kind of down payment assistance they can get from, for instance, the Mortgage Finance Authority.
Mm-hmm.
The New Mexico Mortgage Finance Authority. Say that real fast several times.
Yeah.
So they actually have a big pot of money that can help people that qualify with their down payment. It's a very, very good program helping people without a whole lot of resources but are good citizens with good credit scores and good work history to get into that home. I can tell you story after story that New Mexico Mortgage Finance Authority has been very helpful for.
Oh, they've been great for a number of years. Paul, are you familiar with the HECM for purchase?
Yes.
That's a great product too.
Also, it is.
And at a later date, we'll discuss more about that. But okay.
And the other thing is buyer closing costs. So buyer closing costs this is an estimate. It's kind of like one of those rules of thumb.
Mm-hmm.
About 2%. And the 2% will cover your prepaids, your escrow prepaids, and your insurance, and things like that. So for instance, a $200,000 house, it'll cost about $4,000 of buyer closing costs. Now, in the contract, you can actually ask the seller to pay some or all of your closing costs. That's really cool. So the down payment, you can't get assistance unless you do the Mortgage Finance Authority. Buyer closing costs, depending upon the contract, you can actually ask the seller to pony up with some of that money to minimize the money out of your pocket.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where the experience comes in.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. How about from the seller side?
Well, so the seller side has a little bit different sort of thing. In New Mexico, and especially in Albuquerque area, what we say is the usual and customary is that the sellers will pay certain things and the buyers will pay certain things. In some other areas, locales, other states especially, the sellers don't pay for appraisal. In Albuquerque, usually and customarily, the sellers will pay for the appraisal.
Mm-hmm.
Usually and customarily, they will pay for the inspections. Usually and customarily, they'll pay for all the title insurance and those sorts of things, and the survey. Those are all negotiable fees. But generally speaking, it will cost a seller about 8 to 10% of the sale price to sell a house. Most of that.
Okay, Bob's... Bob?
Okay. I like that music.
Go ahead.
So most of that is in commission. But that is a good wild guess.
Okay. All right. Well, Bob's telling me it's time for a break. You're listening to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Remorse Mortgage, here on 94.5 FM and AM 770 News Radio, KKOB. I'll be back shortly. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, with your host, Dirk Gray. Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, is heard live weekly on Saturdays, beginning at 12 p.m. Mountain Time, and streams to a global audience on 770KKOB.com. All right, before I continue my conversation with Paul, in our newer segment called Because You're a Senior, These Are Available to You, last week we discussed the Goodwill stores offering to senior discounts, and Kroger offers a 5% discount off the entire bill for those over 60 and older, and discounts on selected days each week. This week, don't forget the movie tickets for seniors that are 60-plus, and they often have a senior day. And then Chili's is offering a 10% discount for those 55-plus. So just listen each week for Because You're a Senior, These Are Available to You. All right, let's pick up with you, Paul.
Well, it's 60 the new 40. I like that.
It is.
A lot of people don't know about those discounts. That's good.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. What is the best time to buy?
Right now.
That's kind of what I figured you might say.
Well, we're in the process of a recovery market. The prices are still relatively low, although I will tell you that the market is picking up to a degree. Let me just give you the numbers. The median price right now, as of the end of May, was $199,950. $200,000 median price. That's shot up. This time last year, it was only $190,000. The average price house in Albuquerque, this is Albuquerque Metro, is $235,000, and last year it was $226,000. So it's picking up. And we were talking about before we're recovering, mm-hmm. We're getting to the point where it's a good market right now. And depending upon the price point, of course, it's a buyer's market above $500,000. If you have $500,000, you can get some pretty good stuff. Seller's market below 250, mm-hmm. which means that there is not that much inventory. But it's always a good time to buy a house, but you got to be on it. One of the things we suggest to people is to get a realtor that can set up a search for you. If you know where you want to live and about what you want to spend and what the criteria is, your benefits of the house, have a search set up for you so that you can get the instantaneous brand new listings or a listing that's been reduced in price, mm-hmm. any of that. People that have a realtor set that up for them, and a realtor can do that for you through the multiple listing. You can find that instantaneously as opposed to going to all the other different websites by yourself. It's a real good thing.
Paul, comment on using Zillow.
Zillow, thank you. Zillow, well, let me comment on New Mexico. New Mexico is a non-disclosure state. What that means is that you cannot find out what a house sold for by going down to the courthouse. You can't. But if you talk to a realtor, you can find out what the house down the street from you sold for because the realtors have the data through the multiple listing service. The non-disclosure state basically means that the government cannot share with any entity outside of the government what a house sells for. As such, Zillow doesn't have sold data. The realtors will not give sold data to Zillow, mm-hmm. or to Trulia, or to Realtor.com, or to any of these other websites that have sold data or home data. However, realtors can tell you what it is. So Zillow has, most people know about Zillow. They go to it and they see what the Zillow value is. The estimates are 80% accurate 80% of the time. Mm-hmm. So it's the old 80-20 rule kind of thing. Mm-hmm. If they have a Zestimate on there, it may be off, and in fact, it probably is off. So whatever estimate you see on Zillow or Homes or Realtor.com cannot be relied on accurately. It's probably within 20% of truth, but which side? We don't know.
Well, that's good to know because I know more and more people are looking to that platform.
They are, and mm-hmm. and Zillow does have a wide reach, but they don't know. And that's something that the viewers or the listeners, your viewers, if they're watching the radio, your listeners need to know about because Zillow is good with some data, but mm-hmm. not on Zestimates. They're typically not. They can be, you know, even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
Yeah.
But typically they are off.
Okay, let's talk about inspections. As a seller, should I get a house inspection before I put my house on the market?
Absolutely. And the reason why is because up to 25% of the houses fall out of escrow once they have a contract because of a variety of reasons, but mostly because of inspections and not being able to come to terms with the seller and the buyer as to what repairs to make. So if you do the inspections beforehand, you can repair all those things that are, you know, nitinoid things, and find out about stuff that you maybe didn't know about. You may have an issue with your heater. You may have an issue with your roof or your foundation or something. Knowing is 90% of the solution.
Yeah, I've always thought it's a good idea.
So huge idea and a big benefit, because if a buyer comes in and sees that the inspections are done, they know they don't have to put a check in that block. They know what it was, mm-hmm. what's been done, mm-hmm. and they're pretty well assured that this house is going to go to market well.
Well, as a buyer, can I make multiple offers on more than one house?
A lot of people don't know this. Now, if you're a seller, you would like to get multiple offers into your house. And, man, I got multiple offers. I need to respond to them. Buyers have also that privilege if their realtor is understanding the multiple offer process. And so I had one lady one time that made an offer simultaneously on 7 houses. Hmm. She liked them all. There was one that she really liked, and ultimately she got it. But we made offers. Now, the key is making an addendum to the contract to say, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, I made offers on other properties. And in order for this contract to be valid, you have to accept my offer, and I have to accept your acceptance. So it's a 3-step process, not just a real quick, will you take my offer? So the answer is yes. We have to tiptoe, but the answer is yes.
That's fascinating. That's you taught me something today. That's great.
We like doing that. It's actually kind of fun, isn't it?
That's the
experience, mm-hmm. yeah.
As a seller, what's the best time to put my house on the market?
Right now. I mean, right now. A lot of times people say, well, I want to hit the summertime. Well, it's summertime now. Houses sell all year round, and that's the good news. The bad news is that if your house is maybe on the market, it's not on the market. Mm-hmm. We started something last year called Coming Soon, and this is a new thing that we have in the market here. And basically what we can do is actually sign a contract and then put a sign up on a person's yard and have a Coming Soon sign on. It has to be active on the market within 2 weeks. But that's another way that people are finding out that there is a market for their house. It can't be shown. You can't be doing anything, but during that time, people are doing the packing, doing the final touch-up, doing all the inspections. But now's a good time, and now's a good time any month of the year, any time of the year, even in November, December.
I saw that my first Coming Soon sign within the last week. I'd never seen it before, and I thought, well, that's a good idea.
Well, we finally put rules around it at the Board of Realtors here, mm-hmm. and it was a something that was kind of new to us. But I think it's a good program, and it's when a seller sees a sign up on the yard, even if it's coming soon, they know it's time. Yeah. They're doing the packing, they're mm-hmm. doing the touch up, they're doing the inspections mm-hmm. and all that.
What's the average time on the market, Paul?
Well, I just did a search of that, and days on the market right now is about 45 days. That's a month and a half, and that's down about 4 days from last year, the same time last year. But the basic general rule of thumb that we like to use is if a property's on the market 30 days, it's overpriced. And
really?
Houses don't sell. Well, houses, I'm going to say houses, but fill in the blank.
Paul, we've got to wrap it up. Give us your contact information.
Okay, I'll be happy to do that. The number's 505-293-1224.
Okay, and do you have a website?
We do. It's Look for Homes Here.
Look for Homes Here.
Look for Homes Here.
Okay, great.
.com.
Paul, thank you very much for being on the show. All right, Bob's telling me it's time for a break. You're listening to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage with your host, Dirk Gray. I'll be back shortly. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage with your host, Dirk Gray. Gray Matters is heard weekly on Saturdays beginning at 12 p.m. Mountain Time and streams to a global audience on AM 770 News Radio KKOB. All right, this week for our New Mexico Reverse Mortgages Q&A questions, if you want to submit an email, send it to Dirk, D-I-R-K-G, at reversenm.com. And this week's email is in regards to Social Security and the possibility of delaying Social Security by using a reverse mortgage. And so just some general information initially. At 62 years of age, you're eligible for 75% of the Social Security benefit that you would receive at 66. In addition, each year that you wait from 66 to 70 years of age, you receive an additional 8% increased benefit per year. The reverse mortgage income can be used to delay receiving your Social Security income until 66 to 70 years of age. This will give you an increased monthly Social Security income for the rest of your life. And that's a very popular process, especially as we do a lot of work with financial service providers. So keep that in mind. All right, my next guest is Steve Kerr, not the basketball coach, but rather a physical therapist. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thank you, Dirk. Appreciate being here.
No, I'm glad to have you. All right, you know what? Let's tell us about your background.
Well, I actually started out, believe it or not, as a butcher, and was cutting meat for about 6 years, and I realized that I needed to do more with my heart versus my hands, and I went to school to become a physical therapy assistant.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I got into physical therapy and just literally loved it, found my heart with the seniors, mm-hmm. Which applies to this show, and just thought, you know, I need to continue on. And I did for about 8 or 9 more years. And by the year 2000, I became a physical therapist and have been practicing basically in nursing homes, skilled nursing facilities, since the year 2000 until now. And, I've just found that it's something that God has really blessed me to do. I sincerely believe that. It's not something I work up on my own. Sometimes I get to work and I think, oh, another day of work. But then I just really bow my head and just say, hey, Lord, help me to do this. You've given me this gift, and it truly is a gift, and I really love it. I've been really blessed.
Okay, now, you know, like I'm sure a lot of other people think physical therapists, but tell the listeners what that actually means. Walk us through your typical day.
Well, that's a great question. If it's a new patient and they're here to be evaluated, I simply go in and let them know who I am, and I want to help them get better. I think more than anything, you have to develop a rapport and let them know that you're really on their side. A lot of people in that position, it seems like, especially the seniors, you know, they're thinking that there might be a possibility that they're not going to make it through this. They might not be able to make it home. They might have to sell their home. They might have to, you know, not get back to the life that they had before, especially if it's like a hip fracture or even falling with a, you know, head injury or, you know, and the families are all concerned. So a lot of times they're there when I walk in, and I'll just reassure them that, look, let's start with square one. We're going to help you move. The first thing we need to look at is how you can get in and out of bed. Can you get from the bed to the chair? These things that we take for granted mm-hmm. are no longer taken for granted because mm-hmm. of the pain associated with usually a fall or a combination of things. I mean, people make bad choices. Sometimes we see a lot of people that have maybe drank too much, and then it's caught up to them, and now they need to recover, and they're really looking for someone to come in there and say, look, this is what we're going to do. I'm a physical therapist. I'm going to help you start moving again, but doing it safely. And that's basically what I do. And, of course, there's a ton of technique involved in that and safety cues and teaching along the way, but instilling in them the confidence that, look, I'm the man. I can help you. I really can. You got to believe in me. I'm already believing in you because I know your desire, your motive is to go home. And so that's where we're starting, and that's where it really gets started.
So does this involve you doing physical hands-on work with them?
Oh, you bet. You bet. And like I said, a lot of times it's really basic stuff that we kind of miss. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, hey, I want to see how you can get in and out of bed. And they go, well, you know, they're thinking, well, that's so silly. You know, is that therapy? You bet it is. That's functional. They have to be able not just get in and out of bed, or not be, I should say, go from, say, supine, which is lying on your back, to rolling, all the things that we take for granted to sitting up on the edge of the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we're involved in monitoring that and making sure they're okay. You know, we'll check heart rates, we'll take, you know, oxygen, saturation rates, we make sure that they're not dizzy. You know, all the medications that are involved in that. We got complications with confusion and different things, which involve safety issues. And then we work on transfers from seat to seat, and then we work on walking. And those are the basic things. Of course, balance is a huge part of that, but that all kind of is encompassed in the movement and in the dynamic, you know, getting on your feet and those kind of things.
And Steve, is in preparation, would you say seniors that stay active or maybe exercise more than one that doesn't, does it help them perform better when they get to that stage?
You bet it does. Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. You know, the more mobile you stay, the stronger you are. And as you stay mobile, I mean, obviously, if you have a fall, which is a lot of people what we, you know, we see these people, they've mm-hmm. had falls, then they develop this fear of falling, which can really be paralyzing, in addition to the fact that if they've fallen and broken, then they're in a ton of pain as well. But to answer your question, remaining mobile and remaining as active as you can and being as independent as you can, you know, keep moving. You know, it's like the old adage, if you don't use it, you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really true. You just simply atrophy if you're not getting up and moving and staying active on your feet. Even if it's just walking from the bed to the bathroom and you're moving. Now, granted, that's minimal. Obviously, the people that do more. And what I've discovered to reiterate or to speak a little bit more on that issue is what I've discovered as a PT is the more freedom I can give people. Like for instance, if they have their mind and they're actually doing pretty well, a little unsteadiness, I'll say, look, in a couple of days, I'm going to work as hard as I can to get you walking on your own.
So they have something to look forward to.
Well, yeah, and giving them that freedom. And the thing about it is, Dirk, is that all of a sudden they get exponentially better faster. Why? Because they're moving on their own. They're not waiting for that half hour or 1 hour of physical therapy.
Mm-hmm.
They're walking maybe 10, 12 hours a day versus sitting in a wheelchair
mm-hmm.
and getting weaker and weaker. Now, we can't give that freedom to everybody. If they're a fall risk, then it's a big issue. And we're responsible for saying, okay, it's my decision as a PT to say, you can walk on your own.
Mm-hmm.
But use your walker, make sure you have your shoes on, and if you're not up to it, by all means, don't. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm giving you that freedom, but I'm also telling you, look, you got to be responsible. If you're not well that day, by all means, stay in your wheelchair. But if you're feeling okay,
mm-hmm.
you're wearing your shoes, we're minimizing the risks, please go for it because you're only going to get stronger and get better faster.
Well, it sounds to me, just by listening to you, you're probably a pretty good motivator.
I love what I do. Like I said, when I started this, it's just one of those things that's innate within me. And there's times where people will say, you know, I don't know if I can do this, you know, and I'll say, look me in the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do this together.
Uh-huh.
We can do this. I promise you.
That's...
But I need you to want it more than me.
Uh-huh.
And they do,
yeah.
down deep.
Yeah.
They just haven't discovered it yet. And once they do, then they grab onto it and they engage and they go, oh, thank God.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm going to go home. And they know it. And it's awesome. It's a great feeling.
Okay, so that's really, I would say, what's more or less motivates patients to work with you, correct?
Well, I sure hope so. I mean, you know, there's some people that, a very few percentage that don't. But I would say, you know, the vast majority, they really realize, you know, that maybe for the first time since their hospital experience, that there's somebody really there for them
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, I'm going to engage with them and I'm going to say, look, you know, together, you know, we can do this and we have to do it. And you know it better than I because you're the one going home. I'm already going home every evening and I feel bad that you can't, but that doesn't mean we're going to feel sorry for ourselves. We got to work through it. And we can do it. And it really comes across as genuine and sincere because that's what I am.
Yeah.
You know, and I do it basically to glory, you know, to God's glory. I really do. I mean, when I walk into those rooms, before I walk in, Dirk, I'm telling you, I'm saying, God, you got to lead me because you never know what you're going to walk into.
Yeah.
You know, you might get somebody that says, get the heck out of my room. You know, I don't want to do this. I'm not doing this. That's a very, very, very small percentage, maybe
mm-hmm.
5% of five, you know, not even 5%, you know. But for the most part, everybody wants to get well. Everybody wants to go home and everybody wants to be safe when they do it. So, and the families are behind that. Obviously, they're saying, what do we do? The families of the patient are behind that. They're saying, look, help us, guide us, you know, bring us to that, you know, awareness of how we can be safe and take our mom home.
So you're disciplined. You're a teacher and motivator.
You bet. You bet.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, I've heard the saying, and I really believe this. It says, you know, everyone always knows the right thing to do. The hard part's doing it.
Yeah.
And that's where you're at. You know what to do. I don't need to come in here and tell you you want to go home. You know you want to go home.
Yeah.
And I just help them get there. And I have the skill to do that as a PT. And a lot of it is just being understanding and empathetic and listening to where they're at, you know, and so forth.
Okay. All right. Well, Bob's telling me it's time for a break. You're listening to Gray Matters Discussing All Things Senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage. Our phone number is 897-4900. I'm Dirk Gray. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Gray Matters Discussing All Things Senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, with your host, Dirk Gray. All right, I'm continuing my conversation with Steve Kerr. And Steve, let's talk about falls and fall-related injuries, and that's a big deal.
It really is. I don't think people really realize how big a deal it is. I know I didn't even know in regards to the statistics, but one of the statistics that's really big is 2.8 million people actually have to go to the ER based on a fall. Almost 3 million people annually go to the ER because of a fall. And then 800,000 of those, basically a million of the three, end up they actually get hospitalized, excuse me. They go to the ER because of a fall. 3 million a year, and they end up going into the hospital, having to be admitted into the hospital, 800,000 or a million, essentially. That's a big number. That's a really big number. And most of those 800,000 or 1 million people that end up in the hospital are because of hip fractures or head injuries. Now, those are obviously extremely serious problems. In fact, one of the statistics on a hip fracture, if you're 65 and older and you fall and break your hip, 50%. Literally, 50% of those that fall and break their hip that are 65 and older actually die within 1 year. And you think, why in the world would they die if they're going in for a hip fracture? What happens is they stop moving.
Uh-huh.
And people in my field, myself included, stop those people from moving. Why? Because they've already proven that they're a fall risk. We see them in their wheelchair and they're trying to get up on their own and no. We'll get it. What do you need? You need water. And so we basically make them immobile because we're afraid on our watch that they're going to fall again. And then we start putting alarms on them and all this kind of thing, bed alarms, chair alarms. You know, we throw down mats. We do all these things to protect us from allowing them to fall again. So we make them immobile, and eventually within a year, because of the pneumonias and all the things that happen, wounds set in, you know, from bed sores and that kind of thing, they end up dying. Half of them die within a year. So what's the solution? They have to stay moving. Well, how do you do that and overcome the fear of falling?
Well, okay, that's a good segue, because I know that you invented a product that stops seniors from falling. It helps in that regard. Tell us about it, how it works, and kind of where did you get your inspiration for this?
I really appreciate that. Basically, I was working with a lady in a nursing home, and she had been falling numerous times. I think more than 20 times. And I went to do a physical therapy evaluation with her because she had fallen again. And I didn't know what to do. I really didn't. I just said, what do we do? I mean, we're going to run through this whole gamut again and try and work with all this fall prevention stuff that we currently have. Well, a long story short, basically, there was a company that I worked with that has a pole, a tightening pole between the floor and ceiling. It's steel, and it's basically a floor jack that holds up ceilings. And I thought, okay, they use that for transfers, this particular company. They use it for people to hold on to stand up, to go from seat to seat. And my idea was, all right, let's take two of those vertical poles that tighten securely between the floor and ceiling, and we'll stretch a horizontal steel pole between them. And so I came up with that idea. I was given the prototype by this company. They agreed with me. They thought this was a good idea. Why would you do that? Because now you can pull up on something that doesn't move, so you eliminate the fear of falling, and you can start walking about your bedside. Granted, that's not a lot of walking, but it's super important for someone that's not walking at all to stay mobile, to stay strong, and to get on your feet anytime you want, because that rail is put at their bedside. And that's where I came up with this. I thought, I got this prototype from this company, and I'm thinking, now, what do I do with it? And I literally, and I know this is going to kind of sound spiritual, but it was almost like a voice inside of me said, put it at their bedside. So this particular lady, I put it at her bedside. Initially, she didn't want anything to do with it. She said, I'll try it for 24 hours. She didn't want it in there. A CNA, one of the nurses, said, can you get that out of there? It's in the way. I got this resistance going. I said, look, just give me 24 more hours, and if you don't like it, I'll take it down. This lady stopped falling. The CNA never approached me again because all of a sudden her job was being done because this lady could get in and out of bed. She could get to her potty chair, which was at one end of the bar, which is a 7-foot bar that basically runs from the head of the bed to the foot of the bed. This horizontal bar that's steel and super strong supports well over 250 pounds. It would probably literally support 500 pounds, but that's in our literature. We say 250. Yeah. And so they can get up anytime they want, day and night. One lady that I worked with that I gave that rail to, I wanted to borrow it so I could take it to my house to video my mother-in-law who needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did do that. I did that. And we have our video on fallguysproducts.com. That is a little plug for our website. And if you go on fallguysproducts.com, you'll see the videos of these ladies that I helped, one being my mother-in-law. We ran them through the house. But she told me, yeah, you can borrow the rail, Steve, but I need it back by 6 o'clock. And I'm thinking, this is my rail, and I'm letting you have it for free. I just wanted to do the prototype and give them a chance. And so I said, okay, Santa, why do you want it back by 6 o'clock? She says, because I get up 4 times a night, and I need to use the restroom, and that rail needs to be here, or I'm going to just wet the bed, and I can't get anybody to come help me. So dignity isn't that important. And mobility, how important is that? You stop moving, and being able to ambulate and staying safe and not falling.
Okay, so do you make like a little rail system, like they go from one to the next?
Exactly. But initially, we just start by putting it at the bedside. Mm-hmm. Give them a trial with it. Yeah. Let them try it. And I've even gone so far as to say, look, if you're listening to me right now and someone is falling that you love, I promise you, if you call the number that I'll give you right now, 1-800-676-1655, if you call that number and say, look, can you come out to my house and make an assessment? My mom's falling and we don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing on the market right now that'll keep my mom from falling. And yes, we can take that bed rail that I'm talking about, that basically a grab bar at your bedside within mm-hmm. fingertips. Reach out and grab it. Even if you have some dementia or some cognitive decline, it works because people hold on to something that they won't fall with. They it's instinctive not to fall.
Mm-hmm.
And they grab onto it, and you don't have to teach it. It's just there where they need it. A grab bar at your bedside is what this is. It's steel and it's strong. And then we can actually, if you so desire, custom fit it to make a pathway into the bathroom. So now you people that are working out there, that are family members and say, gosh, I can't leave my mom, you would have a way to leave because now they can get up and move. Now, if they have the big cognitive decline, you know, everybody's different.
Yeah.
But if they can move and they have their mind and they have this, they're holding onto the steel rail going from point A to point B, then you've got it. And it's just awesome. So people that are working, they can still work and take care of their family at home.
Well, you know, you were talking about this woman and the resistance to it.
Yes, sir.
Why is that resistance there? Is it they're afraid?
They are afraid, right. And nobody wants change. Yeah. And no one wants to admit they have a need. Mm-hmm. But it's so awesome what happens, Dirk, with this. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Initially, they resist it. The families are all for it. They're going, oh, please help us. You need to try this, Mom, please, for our benefit so that we can sleep at night. And then the resistance leaves once they develop, they get empowered by it. And then all of a sudden, honestly, this becomes my rail. You know, one lady said to me, she goes, you know what, if they ever want to come and take me out of this room, she was in a nursing home, she said, that's fine. But then she reaches back and grabs the rail. She goes, but this is coming with me. Mm-hmm. Because she had developed a dependency on it mm-hmm. that made her life, that gave her back what she needed and what she wanted, her independence and her freedom to move.
Okay, we've got a message. If you're driving and can't write the number down, call Bob later and he'll give it to you. Is that what you wanted me to say, Bob?
I appreciate that, Bob, because I actually had thought of that before, that, you know, if you want this number, and you want to get a hold of me personally, I'll be glad to come out. Like I said, there's no obligation. I'm not a salesman per se, even though I'm sold on this product. I'm a physical therapist, but I do assess people all the time in regards to falls and prevention of falls.
Okay. We've got about 30 seconds left. Give us your contact information and your website.
You bet. Our website is Fall, F-A-L-L, Guys, G-U-Y-S, Products. And obviously that's www.fallguysproducts.com. The 800 number is 1-800-676-1655, and that'll ring right in my pocket.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Steve. All right. I want to thank both Paul Wilson and Steve Kerr for being my guests. I also want to thank my producer, Bob, as well as the 770 KKOB team for making Gray Matters Discussing All Things Senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, your favorite place for all things senior. This information is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or a government agency. If the borrower does not meet loan obligations such as taxes and insurance, then the loan will need to be repaid. The information given during the show is not meant to be all-inclusive. Any guests on the show are not endorsed by Gray Matters, New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, or KKOB. Thank you for joining me today. I'm Dirk Gray.